Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. Mark Daly here, welcome you back to the show this morning. Yes, it is morning, going on 8 o'clock here in Vancouver, Canada. The first race of the new Formula One 2020 World Championship is now under our belt after getting the first race over and done with at the Red Bull Ring in Austria. And what a race it was. Plenty of action and only 11 cars finishing after it was all said and done. And we're going to talk about it over the next half an hour or so and break it down as the result is finally confirmed. The results are provisional at the moment, so let's just go over that quickly. So Valtteri Bottas wins the first race of the season for 2020, much like he did last year, this time being in Austria, not in Australia. However, the first, let's go through the entire 10 cars, sorry, 11 cars that finished, because there was a lot of things going on the track today, and there weren't many cars that finished by our normal standards. Anyways, P1, Valtteri Bottas, Charles Leclerc finishing in P2, Lando Norris finishing in P3, Lewis Hamilton in fourth, fifth was Carlos Sainz, sixth Sergio Perez, seventh Pierre Gasly, eighth Esteban Ocon, ninth Antonio Giovinazzi, 10th was Sebastian Vettel, and 11th was Nicholas Latifi, the Canadian driver, missing out on a point in his very first Formula One Grand Prix. And what a race it was. Plenty of action going on the track. But before we even got down to racing this morning, there was a bit of a change. The grid yesterday was set to be an all Mercedes front row lockout, Valtteri Bottas beating Lewis Hamilton by just the smallest of margins, about 12/100ths of a second. But Lewis Hamilton was handed a three-pace grid penalty just hours before the Grand Prix, because in Q3 yesterday, as they were going out for their final hot lap, Valtteri Bottas got a little wide, went off the track, got into the grass. Lewis didn't slow down for the full course, say yellow. And then there was a protest launched by Red Bull this morning before the race after some new footage came to light. And then the stewards did ultimately rule that that Lewis was speeding under yellow, and he was handed a three-place grid penalty. So this morning, when we got off to racing at the Red Bull Ring, we had Valtteri Bottas, Max Verstappen on row one. Row two was Lando Norris and Alex Albon. Row three was Lewis Hamilton and Sergio Perez. Row four, Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz Jr. And then row five, Lance Stroll and Danny Ricciardo. And the race, very, very dramatic. Well, I mean, getting off the start, it was a very good start, I thought, by Valtteri Bottas. Pretty fast. Norris was pretty quick off the line right behind him. You could tell that maybe Max was struggling a little bit for grip. I think just being on the inside of the track there, you know, not as much rubber there, maybe just a little bit dirtier, but still managed to get the position. But he was fighting off Lando basically the entire, the first lap there. But the great pace that we saw from McLaren during qualifying didn't really equate to great pace in the race once we got going. After the third lap, Alex Albon had actually passed Lando Norris into to P3, which has set up a running order of Bottas, Verstappen, and Albon. Lewis was still in P5 until lap four. He was just sort of hanging thereabouts. But, you know, it's a long, long race. But it was interesting, too, in that opening phase of the race, Max was holding about two and a half seconds behind Valtteri Bottas in the lead there. And I was wondering if that was perhaps an issue, you know, deliberate, because we've seen over the years at this time of year when we get to Austria that it can be a bit of an issue when it comes to heat and to cooling in the cars. And that was, been an issue for many people. And it was an issue today as well. So anyways, Hamilton did finally manage to pass Alex Albon in lap 9, but lap 11 was, that was the first big dramatic moment of the race, when all of a sudden we saw Max dropping down through the order quite dramatically, went into the pits, rather unplanned, of course. It wasn't in the pit stop window by any means. Max went in and then was forced to retire soonly thereafter. And then when Christian Horner was interviewed a little bit later in the race, he did say that Max had retired due to an electrical issue that was still under investigation. So I'm sure that will come out in the following days, what the actual problem was. But certainly it was not the start that Max wanted. He won there the previous 2 years, was looking for the hat trick. Sadly, it wasn't to be. But then right at the very end of the race, Alex Albon dropped down. And well, there'll be more about Alex as well as we get to it. But it was very interesting, too, just the amount of cars that we saw struggling, because very shortly after Max dropping out on lap 11, we saw Danny Ricciardo retire on about lap 18. Or 19. It looked like at the time he was just touring around in third gear. The initial speculation was that perhaps he was having a gearbox issue, but later that was confirmed by Renault that that he had a cooling issue. So, you know, the one thing that really struck me, though, in the opening phase of the race, at least up until the pit stop, and for those of you that watched the race and all the craziness that we had with the several safety cars in the second half of the race, it really did flip the order up on its head, maybe somewhat artificially, because I think that just looking the way how strong that Mercedes were throughout the race, that had there not been those couple of safety car periods, that I think they just would have completely walked away with it, obviously. I mean, they were just that much faster than everyone else. But before the things really got shaken on their head, shaken upside down, the one thing that really struck me was just how lacking that Ferrari were in pace. It was really apparent. And I thought it was interesting, too, because you kind of had this mirrored situation. You had Sergio Perez in the Racing Point leading Charles Leclerc. And then a little bit further down, just a couple of positions back, you had Lance Stroll in front of Sebastian Vettel. And the Ferraris just could not match them on straight line speed, especially when you get that long sort of straightaway after you go through the big 90 degree corner at turn one. Then you have that little flick to the left halfway up that straightaway at, you know, they actually call it a turn. It's more of a deflection, really, at turn two before you get to the big, another 90 degree turn at turn three. But going up the hill there, just on power and performance, the Ferraris just could not match the Racing Points. I thought, well, I don't think any of us a year ago would have thought that that would be possible, that Ferrari would be at such a disadvantage to the Racing Points, and even to McLaren too. I think it was quite obvious that the statement that Charles Leclerc was saying earlier this week, that he was 99% sure that Ferrari was going to struggle this year, I think was absolutely apparent. And I think that just based on what we saw today, just in straight head-to-head racing, especially through the first half of the race, just really goes to show how crucial these upgrades that Ferrari are going to bring to Hungary in a couple of weeks actually are. Because if they're basically racing with the same spec car that they took to Barcelona way back in February, and everybody's evolved from there, that and they've upgraded their car in multiple areas in their power unit as well, that Ferrari have a real big pile and mountain of work ahead of them to do to try and claw back some reliability, and or maybe not reliability, but some performance. Because there is some speculation again, and we talked about it just on the regular show just a couple of days ago, that even with the way that things are, that we never really did hear what the reason was for what the ruling was regarding Ferrari's power unit last season over the offseason into the winter, what the ruling was there. And there was even speculation that it has been unconfirmed that perhaps over the winter that Ferrari had to completely redesign the power unit to comply with whatever transgression it was. But I mean, that is a bit of a, you know, it's all speculation, it's all just guessing. And of course, it's not in the public realm, but it really makes you wonder. And I think, I know that the P2 by, for Charles Leclerc was an absolute bonus and completely unexpected for Ferrari today, because they looked second best. They look like they were lacking, or obviously lacking in terms of pace behind the McLarens and the Racing Points. And the question is now, are they not only are they a top three team at the moment, but they're probably in the top five. I think McLaren looking like pretty much that they are in the top four, top five as well. And Racing Point certainly look very, very strong on pace, although they did have their issues it throughout the race as well. Anyways, time for a very quick break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, well, welcome back to the show and wrapping up the season opener at the Austrian Grand Prix today. And of course, that race was won by Valtteri Bottas, Charles Leclerc in P2, and Lando Norris coming home P3 for McLaren. Great results for Lando and McLaren. Good to see them doing so well today. But just to finish up that thought on Racing Point, I was making just before the break there that... and McLaren as well. I think that both of them have obviously improved quite a bit over the winter, and a very, very disappointing result. I think for Racing Point, Lance Stroll retired sort of a third or not quite halfway through the race for I think it was engine issues. I have not confirmed that yet. And Sergio Perez finishing P6, and it looked at one point I think for them a podium got away from them, because when you had the first safety car incident after Kevin Magnussen had that right front brake failure, and then his car was somewhat precariously parked in that gravel trap in the asphalt area just at turn three and just off the apex there, that brought up the first safety car, and then everybody went in, and there was a real flurry of cars going in there, and everybody did go in and change from the tires that they're running to hards. So Kevin Magnussen, that happened on lap 25, and this being a 71 lap race, most of the cars, I think they're running mediums at the time. Anyways, everybody switched over to the hard compound tires at that point, obviously making it a one-stop race. But anyways, when it came to the restart there, I'm going to get back to the point I was going to make about Racing Point and McLaren in a bit here, because it kind of leads into the next safety car period. But I would be remiss if I didn't address quickly the restart. Was that Sebastian Vettel and Carlos Sainz tangling at turn three? And I think tangling is a little bit unfair to put it in, because that sort of suggests that's part of Carlos Sainz's problem or fault, when I don't think it clearly was. But anyways. Just going up into that corner, there looked like a little bit of room that Sainz left in there, but it was another lunge, another clumsy move by Sebastian Vettel. He was just too far back. He was never going to make that move stick. Anyways, he did touch Carlos Sainz, spun out, and ended up dropping all the way down to P15, which in all effect was the back of the running order at that point. That's very typical. as soon as I saw that Sebastian looked like he was going to do something, it's just like, oh boy, here we go again. We know how this this movie ends. And when you saw that, you had to think, well, you know, you can see why, or at least the justification for many, you know, for Sebastian not to go back to Ferrari was quite apparent there. And it just sometimes I don't get the mental place that that Vettel was going to, you know, he is. I mean, sure, the door was open slightly, but he was never going to make that that move stick. So, anyways, the one thing that was very interesting though after the restart there was that that Bottas was struggling a little bit on the hard tires compared to Lewis Hamilton. And after Lewis had moved up into P2, I think he was about 7.5 seconds behind, and he was able to really push his way back. And that safety car really did close the gap. I think by the time the safety car came, or that period came in there, that I think Lewis was about three and a half seconds behind Bottas at that point. But anyways, they double stacked the cars, got them both on hard tires, and after the restart, you could just tell that the Bottas just wasn't feeling it, just wasn't doing as well on the hard tires as Lewis was, and he really closed that gap up. At one point, I think it was down to about 0.4 seconds, and it looked like an overtake was imminent. It could happen, but it never did. And then, of course, you get into that situation, and they're talking about it on Sky Sports. Oh, perhaps you know, we're going to get the message soon about team orders. And I thought, well, do you have to do team orders so early in the season? Why not let these guys race? And if you're Lewis Hamilton, would you not just be a tad bit insulted that you know, team orders are going to come out and you're told to, you know, give this one to Valtteri? I mean, sure, I know that that Lewis is you know, he is a team guy, and you know, he wants to see Mercedes win and everything like that. But still, I mean, I think that sends a bad message if he's the number one driver. I mean, he's reigning world champion. He's won multiple world championships with Mercedes and helped them win multiple world championships in the constructors as well. Anyways, it did kind of come over the radio that they were told to stay off the curbs. I mean, the curbs have been an issue at the Red Bull Ring for the past couple of years, and they were having problems with the gearbox sensors, and they were just really worried about it. And then they both got the exact same message over race radio. And then Bottas was told that he had more of an issue than the other car. And well, it never really did come into a huge factor in the end, because on lap 51, George Russell pulled off to the side of the track. He had Romain Grosjean touring around as well, so that brings out another safety car. Anyways, what got really interesting here was that the running order at this time, the top three was Mercedes. So Bottas, Hamilton, P3 was Sergio Perez in the Racing Point. Anyways, those top three cars decided to stay out on the track, and everybody else went into the pits for softer compound tires. So the Red Bulls, McLarens, for example, they came out on medium tires, and it was an interesting choice, considering that there was an opportunity for those three cars to go back into the pits when they came around again. They did opt to stay out. Obviously, they would have sacrificed that track position. But anyways, they get back to racing, and then less than a lap later, we're back to another safety car. But before that, we had the restart, and going up the hill in the straight after turn two into turn three, going around the corner at turn three, you had Alex Albon was all over the back of the Racing Point of Sergio Perez. And I thought at the time, you know, they're really going to regret not going in for fresh tires, for softer tires, you know, the mediums, the softs, whatever the choice, you know, for that car was, because it was apparent right away that that Albon had more pace. And he did actually get around, almost got around him completely, but just far enough ahead, because just as he did going around the corner and then getting down onto that straightaway as you go up and over the hill and down into turn five, that the yellow flags and another safety car came out, because bizarrely, you have Kimi Raikkonen parked up against the side of the pit wall minus a front right tire. So at first, the way that the car was kind of listing and leaning to the right kind of looked a little bit strange. My initial reaction was, well, did Kimi get onto the curbs and then fly across the track and plow into the pit wall there? And on the replay was, well, it wasn't that at all. It was the fact that coming around those last couple of corners just before you get into the start-finish straight, that actually the right front tire actually came loose. It was quite spectacular. If you saw the in-car camera from Kimi Raikkonen and then Sebastian Vettel, who was running behind the Alfa Romeo at the time, as you saw the tire come off the mounting and kind of hang there before the restraint broke off, and then went bouncing across the track there. So just a very, very bizarre situation. But in terms of things, I mean, we saw 9 cars retire from the race today, and that in this modern era of Formula One just is not something that we see very often. I mean, just on a typical race in the last couple of years, maybe we see a couple of cars retiring due to mechanical issues at most. Last year at the Austrian Grand Prix, we had the entire field of 20 cars finish the race. So just that, there you go. I mean, and previously, well, I mean, Mercedes will be keen to forget the double DNF that they had at the Red Bull Ring a couple of years ago. But very, very interesting to see. And I think it was pretty obvious the rust that was there, you'll pun intended, in many aspects today was really apparent of the enforced layoff that that Formula One had to go through over those, you know, the couple of months, what with the COVID shutdown and everything, all the shutdown orders and, you know, enforced by or put in place by Formula One and the FIA. And the fact there was a lot of work that didn't go, you know, didn't happen on these cars during the spring after the season opener was canceled in Australia. Anyways, time for another break here on the Overtime Media Network, and just hang in there. Still a couple more things to talk about as we break down the 2020 season opener at the Austrian Grand Prix. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. And yes, we're just talking about the 2020 Formula One season opener at the Red Bull Ring in Austria. And we're going to be back there again this time next week for the follow-up. It's not going to be the Austrian Grand Prix. It's going to be the Styrian Grand Prix, because that is the area of Austria where Spielberg and the Red Bull Ring is. And next week's race, I think, is going to be very, very interesting. What with a race already under our belt, the drivers are just going to know the track that much better. I mean, they know it very well to begin with, but with familiarity breeds comfort, and I think that having a race underneath their belts there is really going to set up an interesting follow-up race in 1 week's time. And another thing that will be interesting to see if that you know, the teams that can iron out some of the gremlins that we see or that we did see during the race today, because the tires that the cars that we saw retire were as follows. Max Verstappen on lap 11, Danny Ricciardo lap 17, Lance Stroll in the Racing Point on lap 20, Kevin Magnussen on lap 24, a brake failure, Roman Grosjean retiring on lap 49, George Russell on lap 49, Kimi Raikkonen on lap 53, Alex Albon in the second Red Bull in lap 67, and then Danny Kvyat retiring on the very final lap of the race after he had a very big punctured rather dramatically just after he passed start and finish, when his left rear tire punctured and exploded in rather spectacular fashion. But the big obvious one there, I mean, Haas really isn't a double DNF is no surprise there, sadly. I mean, this is a team that's struggled last year and is struggling this year off right off of the bat here. But the double DNF, having two double DNFs here, the big one there obviously is Red Bull. And this is very much a surprise, because coming into the race, they sounded very confident. They sounded very prepared. I mean, you had Christian Horner earlier this week saying that this is the most prepared that this team has been since 2013, which is the last time that they won a world championship. And I mean, this is obviously light years ago, eons ago in terms of Formula One, but Christian, as team principal, felt that that they're in the best place that they've been in terms of preparation for a new season in almost a decade. I mean, that is a very, very big statement, a powerful statement, to me. But and to see both of them retire for the issues that they had. I mean, Max, an electrical issue, and Alex Albon at the time of recording. I mean, the race has only just finished about half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago. I've been not been able to get a cause for his retirement, but not something that really expected. I mean, this is a team that last year did very, very well in the first year that they had with Honda, and to see some technical glitches and gremlins creeping into the car was something that that nobody obviously really expected. But anyway, so let's get back, and as we start to close down the recap of the race here, the big action came after that final safety car, after Kimi Raikkonen's Alpha was parked on the start finish straight. And it was spectacular because, first of all, in the running order, you had the two Mercedes, and then the Racing Point, and then it was confirmed by race control that Alex Albon and Sergio Perez had to switch places, because Alex Albon did actually do enough to get in front of him before the full course yellow that was brought out because of Raikkonen's crash into the wall after all the yellow flags came out there, obviously. And so that switched them around, and then restarting the race, you had Alex on the much fresher, softer compound tires. You had Lewis and Valtteri Bottas on the older, harder compound tires. And it was a spectacular restart. And going around the track, it was Alex Albon climbing all over the back of Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes. And as you went around turn three, up and over the hill, down into turn four, you had Alex all over the place, really trying to get around Lewis any way that he could. Lewis was not going to make it easy. He pulled a little bit to the inside line to defend the corner and take that away from Alex. Alex, being the aggressive young driver that he is and not taking no for an answer, decided to try and pass Lewis around the outside of the corner going into turn four. Managed to get the car completely all the way around. Lewis under acceleration, not leaving a lot of room for Alex Albon. They touch wheels. Lewis's left front tire came into contact with Alex's right rear tire. Alex spins off, goes into the gravel, ends up basically, I think, all the way down in P15. Immediately, the incident is noted by the stewards that it's under investigation. And then after replay, it was pretty obvious when you saw the overhead camera compared to the in-car camera that, it was pretty obvious from the in-car camera from Lewis Hamilton how far Alex Albon was at the time, but the stewards, having the benefit of looking at this footage as well, decided, especially when you see the overhead camera, that that Lewis did not leave enough room and awarded him a 5-second penalty. And ultimately, that had a big, big impact on what happened on the race. So, I've got my notes here that Albon dropped all the way down to P15, and then Lewis awarded the 5-second time penalty, and then that was just one of two time penalties right at the end of the race. Sergio Perez then handed a 5-second time penalty, dropped him obviously even further down the finishing order there, the final race classification. And that was really a shame for Racing Point, because had they done things a little bit differently, they certainly could have had the opportunity for a podium today. First of all, I think one of the blunders that they had was the decision not to pit under the safety car there, staying on those hard compound tires, because he knew that other people were going to do it. And then, the 5-second penalty for speeding in the pit lane, a real shame. It, from terms of where they were a year ago, a P6 is very decent. But before Lance Stroll retired, he was really showing some good pace as well. It was good, but it certainly could have been much, much better for Racing Point today. But the real exciting thing that was happening right at the end was Lando Norris passing Sergio Perez right at the very end there. And then, right before the end of the race, you had Danny Kvyat, his tire exploding. And then as they all crossed over the line, you had Lando Norris beating Lewis, or finishing within 5 seconds of Lewis Hamilton. And after that, that time penalty was applied, then Lewis ending up, much further down than he thought. We don't often see things like that happen. The incident between Lewis and Albon in Brazil last year, it was very, very eerily similar what happened today. Lewis finishing off the podium in P4, but good on Lando Norris, who actually ended up with the fastest lap of the race. He said a 107.475. If you compare that to Valtteri Bottas's pole setting time in Q3 of a 102.939, quite a bit different there. But then, good for Lando to throw in that fastest lap right at the end there to secure, the podium, his first podium in Formula One. And really good to see Mercedes up there. McLaren finishing up there as well. But, very interesting too, that Bottas should win the season opener, and very much like he did last year as well in Australia. Is this a sign of things to come, or is it going to be very much the same as last year when we saw that Valtteri won the opening race of the year and then Lewis shortly thereafter establishing or reestablishing his dominance of Formula One and of the season, and then Valtteri catching up and playing, I would say second fiddle, but certainly was behind Lewis Hamilton at that point of time anyways. Well, that's it. Thank you, guys. It was a fun race to watch this morning. It was great to see the action back on the track. It looked a little bit weird with the lack of people in and around the pit lane, of course, especially in some of the areas that you see. Certainly very bizarre to see that all the stands were empty at the Red Bull Ring. But other than that, for me, it still worked. It looked good out there. But that's it. We'll do it again this time next week, and can't wait. And that's it. That's a wrap. Thanks, guys, for downloading and listening to the show this morning. If you want to get in touch, please do so by sending me an email at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com or tweet me on the Twitters at scuderiaf1pod. And that's it. That's a wrap. Look forward to being back in a couple of days as I bring you all the latest news from Formula One. Until then, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to scuderiaf1pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com.